From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. When we think about therapy, we picture a person lying down in a chair as they share everything that's on their mind to a stoic therapist who sits there nodding their head and asking questions like, "And how did that make you feel?" Well, the world of therapy is actually very vast. There's talk therapies that explore trauma through guided stimulation, talking to different versions of yourself, or exploring unconscious thoughts and feelings from your past. But not all therapy is talk therapy.
How about we get up and let's move our bodies. Let's shake. Let's dance. That is regulating me, right? Because I'm moving my body. My nervous system, if it gets stifled, then it will get stuck and thwarted and truncated in my body. But if I'm moving and I'm kind of like, all right, let me move it out, it's allowing me to regulate in the moment.
Today on Dialogue, we're exploring the world of alternative therapy with founder and leader of Melanin Lighthouse, Malaya Smith. Malaya Smith is the founder of Melanin Lighthouse, a holistic health and wellness service in Champaign, Illinois. As a licensed mental health counselor, she wanted to do something different, value all aspects of the self. Through workshops and personal sessions, Malaya guides individuals to process and release their trauma through therapy, yoga, chakra practice, and more. The name of her Integrative Health Center reflects her intention to radically reimagine what healing services looks like for the Black and Brown communities. I spoke with Malaya to learn more about Melanin Lighthouse and the services that they provide.
You know, mental health, it's evolving. However, it still can be very one-dimensional, right? I think we're in that process of trying to bring that Eastern and Western mind together, but it's still a process. And I think for me, I'm kind of looking at metaphysical aspects of things, right? Looking at how the body is affected by these emotions and how this is playing out in our everyday life. And so really implementing those concepts. And also, I think it's important to look at generational factors, right? And the conversation about epigenetics, because epigenetics is very, very important, understanding that yes, we are in fact impacted by the environmental factors, but also it's biologically hardwired into our genotype, right? If you don't understand that, then how can you move on from that, right? And so I feel like having those conversations, looking at it from that very multidimensional perspective and seeing a person as multidimensional. You're not just one dimensional. We can't just look at you from this way and we're going to heal it. Like, I think going to the doctor is good, but that's not the only way. And that's what I'm noticing. A lot of doctors are telling their clients, like, this is psychosomatic, right? So this is something that is stuck in the body. This is an emotion. This is a trauma. This is a thwarted instant that you weren't able to, you know, sequence out because of the trauma that you've had, right? And so it's just a lot of those conversations. And so that's really what Melanin Lighthouse is about. It's about understanding that we are so multidimensional. And so that means doing workshops in the community, right? I remember there was moments where I'm doing yoga classes and I just had this young woman reach out to me and she was telling me, she was like, "I've never taken a class like yours." She said, "I still am looking for that." And she was like, "Do you do one-on-one classes?" But it's like, I feel like even when I'm teaching yoga or I'm talking about these things, I'm talking about, okay, the shoulders, you carry the weight of the world, right? Right here, right? But also in your lower back, I feel like I'm not supported, right? So it's understanding body language and what the body is telling you. And so that's the foundation of Melanin Lighthouse, is just waking people up. And that's what the YouTube channel is talking about. That's what the workshops are doing, you know, just kind of sharing that insight and knowledge.
Based on your own ideals and your own research and your own practice, what is it like challenging traditional mental health approaches or wellness approaches that have historically marginalized our experiences?
Mm-hmm. Whew. What is it like challenging? You know, it's interesting because challenging it is not as challenging as you would think. Because the reason why I would say that, and maybe it's the places that I'm at, I think they're looking for that, right? They're looking for those holistic, multidimensional practices that are focusing on our marginalized community. Even if not necessarily everybody is agreeing with it, I think the overarching goal, especially since the pandemic, I feel like people are understanding that our children's development is changing, right? We have to look at mental health differently. The same things that we're doing is not working. So I think that it is at a point where people are looking for that level of expansion. Because I feel like everywhere I go and I'm trying to implement the meditation, the yoga, the somatic-based practices, they're very well received, right? And so that's a good thing, even though maybe I am kind of the one that is pushing for it. But I think when you start to kind of talk about the polyvagal theory, and you're talking about the ventral vagal nerve, and you're talking about the evolution of the nervous system, and it's not just parasympathetic and sympathetic and fight or flight or, you know, rest and digest. It's actually... it's bigger and it evolved.
For context on what Malaya is talking about, studies suggest that our bodies hold onto memory too. This can result in traumatic events or unresolved emotional issues, potentially becoming trapped inside of us. You may be familiar with the popular book, The Body Keeps Score, which explores this phenomenon and has brought attention to it on a public scale. Somatic therapy explores how the body expresses deeply painful experiences by applying both psychotherapy and physical therapies to aid in trauma recovery. In practice, this can look like yoga, shaking out your limbs, or identifying where in your body you're holding tension.
I think, you know, people are more ready to have those conversations. I'm not sure how everybody is necessarily always receiving it, but that's not necessarily my responsibility. I think for me, it's about getting that message out to my clients. And that is the reward, because the data shows that it works. And I'm saying that because I'm currently doing a women of color group. I just finished it last week, and we literally went through each one of the chakras and we were breaking it down. We were doing grounding work. We were doing art. We were doing drumming. We were doing a lot of different multidimensional things, and we were focusing on each chakra. But this was something that I brought in. It was very well received, of course, by the students, but the data shows, because I tracked their data from the beginning and as well. I did a pre and a post assessment, and you can see how literally depression, anxiety, self-esteem, depression and anxiety went down, self-esteem went up, self-efficacy went up. So it's these things that are happening. So I feel like the data is showing that it works. So I feel like at this point, people are more receptive to it, which is good. Maybe if it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe not.
How have participants responded to your holistic care? Is there a particular client transformation that was really notable in your journey so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a couple of them. So this client, she was homeless. And so we were kind of at the point where we were processing, like, you know, the feelings, the experience. And she's a Black woman. And so she has kind of had to take care of everything by herself, take care of her son, do everything. And so at this point, she was like, this is okay for me right now. I feel like I kind of have a level of freedom, right? So being homeless was a level of freedom for her. And so... But it was at a point where she was like, okay, I've done everything. I've applied for everything that I could possibly apply for to get me housing. And so she was in a very positive mindset, but also we knew she wanted a home, right? We want a home. So I was like, you know what? Let's do a visualization. Let's actually see ourselves in that home. And it was the most amazing thing because we visualized on it. And so I was like, whatever, I want you to see the colors in the apartment. Feel how that feels. Feel how good it feels, right? And so I was like, just kind of guiding her through that. And I was like, let's come up with a date. You're not coming up with the date. You're going to allow the date to come to you. So she allowed the date to come to her. The date was, I think it was November 12th, a Tuesday. And so once that date happened, we said we were going to meet. And so she ended up telling me, like, my whole life has changed. She said, I ended up finding out I'm getting an apartment. And she said, you're not going to believe the date that I finalized it on. It was the date that came to me, the November 12th date. And so that is so powerful because it shows the power of the mind, right? Why, whether or not she would have gotten the apartment or not, but she ended up getting it on the date that she said she was going to get it, right? And so it shows that this internal work, but also this level of just letting it go. And this is a form of manifestation, but we can really say this is an individual who has learned to regulate her nervous system, right, who is learning how to control her nervous system and control what she's able to bring into her reality. And I think that is a very powerful place. So I also have another client that I can just kind of talk about who has been through a lot of abuse. And so we've done a lot of body work. Sometimes we'll do like somatic dancing and shaking in our sessions. And that body work is really important for her because she struggles with feeling her body, with being able to connect to her body. And also in that process, being able to actually truly feel her emotions. So she knows I'm sad. She might know, right? Because sometimes we can experience sadness or experience a level of depression. We might not be aware, like, dang, this is what's happening because I'm depressed, right? Because depression isn't always sadness. Sometimes it's I can't get out of bed. Sometimes it's I can't take care of myself. I can't brush my teeth. You know, it looks different for everybody, and that's okay. But she was really in that dark place of not being able to truly feel her emotions. And so with our continuous somatic-based work, she's gotten to a point where she's able to cry and truly feel how she feels. And it was such a beautiful moment. And then after she had that big cry and breakthrough, she was like, I feel so much better. She was like, I'm setting boundaries for myself. I'm able to kind of like feel confident in myself. And I was like, wow, that is a level of power that you're able to gain just by allowing yourself to feel through doing that body-based somatic work.
Ooh, I have chills.
Yes.
That's so freeing.
Yeah.
It's so freeing. You feel lighter.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that for them.
Me too.
Okay. How do you navigate the vulnerable space of holding space for others' trauma while maintaining your own energetic boundaries?
She asking a question. Okay. That is I think that is like a very important question for counselors, for therapists, right? For anybody who is doing any type of energetic work with somebody in the space. Because for me, when my clients tell me things, like if they're telling me like this is something I've been through, I can actually see it. I begin to see what it looks like and how they felt. And it is like you take on that energy for sure. And something that I have learned is I do a lot of interpersonal work with my clients, but I'm also doing a lot of co-regulation. So doing that somatic-based work, I'm co-regulating with them, right? So when they're having an emotional experience, and it's like, I remember I had a client, she was so emotional, and I was like, okay, how about we get up and let's move our bodies, let's shake, let's dance. That is regulating me, right? Because I'm moving my body, my nervous system. If it gets stifled, then it will get stuck and thwarted and truncated in my body. But if I'm moving and I'm kind of like, all right, let me move it out, it's allowing me to regulate in the moment. So I'm regulating and they're regulating. We're co-regulating at this point. So that is something that I do. But also, like, I try very hard to be intentional with my self-care routine and taking care of myself. I am not always perfect, but I notice, like, just making sure I have my prayer routine, my meditations, you know, doing my yoga flows. I teach at Crunch. So I teach a yoga class at Crunch. I teach a weightlifting class, which that helps me and it makes me feel better as well. I think just, you know, connecting with people. I know I was at a point in like 2020 when I was in a really dark place where I would isolate. And so it's not always helpful, right? It's really important to connect. And I feel like it's counterintuitive, right? You want to isolate. I'm going through something. I don't want to be away from everybody. But no, I've learned to allow myself to be vulnerable, right? And to just be open. And I think too, even sometimes with my clients, what I will do, I don't ever tell them like, this is what I'm going through and this is what's happening, but I'll use myself as a tool, right? This is what I've experienced and I was able to evolve through it. And that helps me too, because it helps me find better ways to evolve through things by, you know, having those honest and vulnerable conversations. So I think it's just you have to be very intentional about it, but there are moments where it gets too heavy and I have to take breaks and I'll be like, I can't come into work. And so I can't do this or I can't do that. So setting those boundaries are very important too.
Well, rest your weary heart, dry your teary eyes. I know you were scarred, torn apart inside. Darling, so am I.
So tell us, when did you first recognize that your internal healing could transform into a powerful pathway of supporting others?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel like it had got to a point where I realized that I couldn't help people anymore because I had to come back and help myself, right? Because, of course, coming into this work, you start to realize, like, man, I have trauma. You know, a lot of things that happened in my childhood and my life was playing out in my everyday life. And so it got to a point where I was working with clients. I feel like it was like around 2020, you know, when the pandemic happened, that's when like the breakthrough happened. And I kind of had to really pull back. And I got really deep into pelvic floor healing work, the womb healing work, that work. Whoa, the level of transformation that I saw happen within my life. And so I started to understand, like, a lot of times our body, our emotions and our trauma gets truncated in the core of our body, right? So I started to learn in Kemetic Yoga. So when I was at Urbana Middle School, that's when I got certified in Kemetic Yoga. And so Kemetic Yoga really emphasized the concept of breathing and using your breath, but not just the inhale through your nose, exhale out of your mouth. It's really focusing on that nostril breathing, but also that diaphragm breathing. So really working through your belly, right? And that is a foundation of moving the energy up and pushing it out. And so, like, I started to learn, like, wow, this is some very powerful work. And I started really working on my pelvic floor, working on my breathing, working on my poses and grounding, being outside. And so that is when, around 2020, is when I figured out, like, I can internalize this work and I have to give this work back to other people. And just the work of doing it and implementing it, it is so beautiful to see your clients transform. So yes, that's around the time I kind of figured it out.
I love that. How did your understanding of trauma shift from seeing it as a wound to experiencing it as an opportunity for holistic transformation?
I think I had to go through my own journey, right? So going through that place of, you know, I came to a realization that I had experienced a form of abuse that I didn't know because it was blocked from my mind, just through trauma, of course, and through manipulation. And so kind of realizing that, and I feel like I had to go through those low points. I don't know. I'm not sure how other counselors, I would hope that they kind of go through this process of sometimes you have to break down your own subconscious. And so I spent a lot of time being negative, being in that dark place, right? Allowing myself to feel that, but feeling that really helped me to understand how to connect with that client who's in that dark place, who does not want to be positive, who cannot see the light. And so I think really being in my own hole and climbing myself out like brick by brick, whatever that looked like, was a real way to allow myself to understand, like, yes, this is a wound, but this is not just a wound. This is a lesson. This is an experience. And every trigger that you have because of this is a teacher. It's meant to teach you to move forward, to heal from it, to recognize it, to just bring awareness to it sometimes. That's all you really sometimes need with healing is just a little bit of awareness.
Like many people who have been skeptical of therapy, have had distrust, or they've never heard of alternative therapy options, I asked Malaya her professional opinion on not only where the distrust stems from, but how a disconnect happened in the first place. How have marginalized communities lost touch with some of these ancient and historical practices within their own lineage?
What I would say and what I think kind of happens and what makes sense in the Black community is talking about health, right? I'll talk about the fact that we have the highest mortality rates, diabetes, heart disease, cancer. I mean, even you can talk about the woman's womb, right? Fibroids, so many things, IBS. Black people, the research completely shows it. And in the Black community, you know for a fact, it is the highest. We have the highest level of all of these diseases and illnesses. And so what my conversation and how I would kind of preference that, I would really talk about, like, your mental health is directly correlated to your physical health. There is no separation. And when you go to the doctor, and a lot of us are scared to go to the doctor, you might hear that conversation of, hey, maybe this is somatic, or hey, you know, take this pill or take that pill. But you notice when you take the pill, the problem, it might still persist, or it just kind of might be at this like baseline, or it might just kind of stay, whatever that looks like. So I would say allow yourself to be open to other perspectives of healing yourself, allowing yourself to know that maybe there are emotions or maybe there are certain thoughts that I'm carrying that is allowing me to continue to have these physical illnesses. And maybe too, think about the fact of I'm having a generational curse. We have diabetes in our family. Is that a real conversation? Or are we not able to fully regulate our emotions? Or are sometimes we're stressed out because our nervous system has been stressed from generations? I mean, that kind of is the conversation of post-traumatic slave syndrome. We talk about Dr. Joy DeGuri, and she really speaks about how we have generationally lost ourselves and we have generationally forgot who we are. So coming back to these practices is just reinforcing that love for nature, right? That love for creativity, that love for art. And so I would just say, look at it from a holistic health perspective, because your health is not just going to get fixed by taking a pill, right? We got to get herbs in there. We got to go to therapy. We got to go outside, get into nature, right? Move your body. If you go back into history, in African cultures, we did dance rituals. Dancing is so powerful. That is one of the most powerful somatic-based, you know, interventions. And so dance rituals so we can get rain, or, you know, all these different rituals. And so it's coming back to who we are and realizing and remembering our true culture and remembering who we are. I mean, honestly, I do. I want to say this real quick. It's like Lion King. Mufasa told him, remember who you are. So yes. Remember.
Okay, so when you speak about embodying the process of holistic healing, mm-hmm. what does that embodiment feel like when it is not easy for the Black community? And how do you begin when there is just so much going on in today's world?
I would say the embodiment of the holistic healing process is surrendering to being present. I think there's a whole lot going on, right? We're have so much with technology. We're getting so much feedback all the time. So it's making us think about here, think about there. It gets us in this fear-based mentality of thinking about what could happen in the future, but also allowing us to stay stuck in the past with this depressive, you know? So I would say the way to embody it that I think is the best way and the most powerful way is to really be in present. Be present with yourself. Be in the moment. So if you're feeling shitty or if you're feeling frustrated or angry, feel that. Allow yourself to feel it. If you're feeling happy, feel that. You know, allow yourself to experience what you're feeling. And I think that is the best way to start embodying the healing journey, because we as a society, we're constantly trying to get away from those uncomfortable feelings. Oh, I don't want to be angry. Oh my God, I don't want to be upset. I don't want this. Da, da, da. But sometimes you need to feel it. That's why it's here, because it's inside of you. Our emotions and our feelings, they're signals, right? They're signaling us to work through something or to feel something. So I would say the best way to start this embodiment process is to allow yourself to experience. And I say this from my own, you know, experience. When I feel like I was going through my healing journey, I think I probably could have got through it a lot faster if I wasn't constantly fighting the emotions of, you know, or being ashamed that I feel this way, or being, you know, angry with myself because I'm angry. Like, that makes it so much harder. Allow yourself to just be. It's okay. It's okay to be human and to have emotions. And I think that is the biggest issue, is that we don't give ourselves the grace to feel.
Puff out your chest, take a deep breath, you're gonna be okay. Is it loud in your mind? Just take your time, you're gonna be okay. Puff out your chest, take a deep breath, you're gonna be okay. Is it loud in your mind? Just take your time, you're gonna be okay.
Since the COVID lockdowns in 2020, the amount of people seeking therapy has increased. ThriveWorks 2025 Pulse on Mental Health Report shows that almost a quarter of Americans are in therapy, and 48% say that they are planning on finding a therapist within the next year. And it's not just talk therapy. Somatic and alternative therapy practices are also on the rise. I asked Malaya, if someone has no clue on where to start in giving themselves grace or practicing embodiment, what is your advice on where to start first?
I would say start with going to therapy. Start with requesting or finding a therapist that might feel good for you. I will also say start with walking. That's like one of the things I'm always recommending with my clients. I say breathing and walking. Those are like my first things that I like at the beginning of the journey that I'll tell them to do. I would say breathing. I'll start with breathing. Like, I would say really focus on breathing in through your nose, out through your nose, breathing in through using your stomach and not your chest, because that is a game changer. And I would say, I would recommend just doing that 3 breaths in the morning. You'd be surprised the changes that you will see. Breathing and also meditation, it helps to increase the gray matter in our brain. That gray matter in our brain helps us to regulate our emotions. When it's decreased and we don't have as much, we struggle with regulating our emotions. We struggle with being able to process things. So I would definitely say really focus on breathing and take walks. So when you take your walks, you're doing bilateral stimulation. You're stimulating your right and your left side of the brain. And so what that is doing, it's helping you to basically make sense of everything, but you don't necessarily need to know how you're making sense of it. So I would say walk. And when you're walking, maybe think about something that you're dealing with. Think about something that you're struggling with. Allow yourself to process it through during your walk. And you'll be surprised. You're like walking it out at this point. You're literally walking it out. And being in nature is super good. But I know it might be cold. So just go find a treadmill and walk and think. Or, you know, go take those breaths in the morning. Those are the first things that I would just recommend. And go maybe try to find a therapist, somebody that feels good for you. It's okay to go to therapy. Therapy works. As a Black therapist, I have a therapist, and I am not ashamed to admit that, because why would I not have one? It doesn't make sense. I'm helping people all day.
Mm-hmm. That part.
Right.
A healer for real. Yeah.
Thank you.
How has your healing practice transformed your understanding of difficult times from something to be feared? Now it's something that you can listen to, respect, and learn from. And how do you hope that that continues in the future for our community?
I would say, I think with my pelvic floor work and yoga, I think with the body work, because when you're doing work like that, it's painful. It's like you're physically feeling pain and it's very uncomfortable. But I think after, you know, really being in that experience for 4 years, it's been 4 years since I've really been doing the pelvic work, and about 6 years since I've been, maybe 5 years since I've been doing the yoga work. But I would say embracing the pain, because if you think about it, like, we have social media and we have phones all the time, and these phones, they're kind of easing us from any form of discomfort, because mm-hmm. our phones are a complete dopamine release. It's addiction, right? When you get a phone, you get a text message, you're constantly checking it. So you don't have time to feel, right? You don't have time to experience that pain. So that pain is still there, but it's not being processed. And so I would say, allow yourself to embrace every bit of it. Embrace the pain, embrace the darkness, because you got to go through the darkness to get to the light. You have to. And so that pain for me, I've noticed what it has allowed me to do. It's increase my resilience, right? So when certain things happen, it's like, oh, okay, I've been through worse. I'm good, right? Because realistically, every storm is going to end. And so it just allows you to shape your perspective. And that perspective, those narratives, those cause your life to go wherever you focus your narrative on. So if you're constantly focused on, this is happening, this always happens, this is what my life looks like, then by all means, that's what your life is going to look like, right? But if you decide to shift that narrative, and that is not easy, that takes energy, but it also takes energy to be negative. It takes a lot of energy to do both. So it decides, where do you want to bring your energy to? Do you want to bring it into looking at things in a positive way and also allowing yourself to feel through the pain? It's going to be painful. Healing is not easy, because guess what? You're healing from the pain, and the pain was painful. That's why you're trying to get away from it. That's why we have addictions where we're on our phones, or we're doing drugs, or we're eating too much sugar. We're a workaholics. Whatever those addictions look like, that's why we're constantly giving into them, because we're trying to get away from the pain. And that's why I think working with the body is so important, because you can talk about this stuff all you want, but if you don't do it in the body, it's not going to go nowhere. You're just talking. It's just talk, right? But the body recognizes body language, and the body is a representation of our world. And so if we're not working through the body, then our world is going to be really dark, right? You can only do so much with the mind. They work hand in hand.
Malaya Smith, thank you so much for coming on Dialogue and talking all things healing and wellness and mental health. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Kennedy. This was amazing being on this show and being able to share this insight. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
To learn more about the services provided at Melanin Lighthouse, you can visit their website at melaninlighthouse.com. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.